Welcome to this Golf Channel podcast presented by Top Golf. Trip Eisenhower, joined by my good friend Brian the Bennett Bateman, is here with us. That's an inside joke, folks.
Well, it's funny.
Nothing went on in golf this week, so let's last week, so let's move on and talk about the future. Let's talk about the Web.com Tour graduates and see how they're going to. No, I'm kidding. Of course, I'm just. Some guy named Tiger. People were throwing dirt on his grave for the last two, 3 years, saying he would never win, never going to win a major. He needs to retire. People saying he's just prolonging the inevitable, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Not us.
No.
Not us.
No.
Not him.
No, 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 no. And but, he, you know, just think about it. It was literally last year, a year ago, he wasn't even sure he was ever going to be able to play again. And here he is winning the tour championship, moves into the top 20 in the world rankings after being 800-some at the beginning of the year. I mean, we're laughing just because nobody can do that. Let's start here. Let's just, before we get into the tour championship, let's start here with big picture comeback-wise. Mm-hmm. Ben Hogan's comeback or Tiger Woods, which is – more relevant in history, and when we all said and done and history books are written, does Tiger Woods' comeback outdo Ben Hogan's?
Well, I think you got to give credence to Ben Hogan's comeback because he almost died. I mean, physically he was
true,
could have been paralyzed easily, could have died easily. But I think Tripp, with Tiger's comeback from where he was, not only physically but mentally, emotionally, psychologically, it's unlike anything I've ever seen. You and I both have injuries before. Not as serious as Tiger's, but it knocked both of us off the tour. When you have the void of doing something at a high level for a long time and it's taken away from you physically, it affects your mind. And what Tiger has been able to do with his physical ailments, his psychological issues, and his, we all know this, the low point was after the DUI back, I guess, Memorial Day a year ago. It's just astonishing. But I have to say this. I'm not surprised he won this golf tournament. The way he's been playing the last few months, mm-hmm. I know it's the 30 best on the FedEx Cup points list in the field, but he only had to beat 29 guys. I'm not trying to devalue what he did. But I don't think he came out of nowhere and won this golf tournament.
No. No.
The way he was playing coming in was astonishing. I think more importantly, what we saw yesterday, it showed, if you didn't believe that the impact that Tiger Woods has on the golfing public was what we saw coming down 18 yesterday, with the thousands and thousands and thousands of fans, that wouldn't have happened for any other player.
Nope.
Jordan Spieth, Phil Mickelson, it wouldn't have mattered. But it's a tremendous story. You and I have sat at this desk many times doing these podcasts throughout the year, and we both really questioned if he was ever going to play golf again, much less play at a high level. Mm-hmm. But in saying that, he has progressed throughout the last 6 months, and I'm just not surprised he won. I think his game was trending in this direction, and he could have won two or three other times this year.
Two of them majors
with a swing or two here and there, or a putt made here or there.
I think overall, I'm going to give the edge to Tiger as far as comeback related to Hogan, and this is no – your point about Hogan almost dying is true and could barely walk. Hogan's comeback was epic. This is epic in so many different ways overall, that and the redemptive quality of it. I think that's what, you know, Americans love the underdog. They love someone who's struggled, who's shown imperfection and opens up. And that was the thing about Tiger that I think probably – it didn't hurt his image, but I think it, like, in relationships and et cetera, with his peers, being that open person that he is now. And I think he's a better person in the fact that what he is with the fans, what he does, how he's engaging them better. Overall, it's for Tiger, he's going to have you can't say he's going to have a bigger impact than he had before, but this is going to have an impact. And as far as that comeback related, I got to give the edge to Tiger.
And we can sit here and talk about the evolution of his game throughout the last 6 to 8 months since he decided to try to come back in December. Think about the evolution of him as a person, mm-hmm. what you just said, he was the most polarizing figure in sports,
mm-hmm.
right? Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
There was Tiger lovers and there was Tiger haters.
True.
Right? Yesterday, I don't know if you could find a Tiger hater.
No.
He went from having that black and white fans love him or hate him to everyone wanted to see him win yesterday and was pulling for him to win, and it's for the exact reasons you said. It's because he is showing a human side now.
Yep.
And he's easier to pull for the common fan than he was before, which is hard to believe.
And part of that's fatherhood and what, you know, time and perspective, and you know, you're around your kids a lot more during that time, and it gives you perspective. So, all right, let's talk about his game. I agree with you. This was not in any way out of a surprise win. He almost won the last two majors. I mean, he had legitimate chances to win both those majors. The thing I was impressed with, and I said this all along, I said Tiger Woods will win when he plays from the fairway. If he quits trying to outdrive DJ and Rory and Finau and just says, you know what, I'll see 20 yards to you, and I'll play from the fairway. He was tied for third in driving accuracy, and he was 23rd in distance. There's your formula, Tiger. The swing, Brian, looked in sync almost throughout the tournament. Yeah, there were a few that looked a little out of sync, but not near as many as we were seeing before. So that's the evolution I saw. The putter people worried about during the year at times never really concerned me. Tiger was going to figure the putter out. He got the Scotty Cameron back after tinkering. We all do that. And he was fantastic in putt. His short game's been sensational. I'm not surprised he won. The driver is the key, and it is the key going forward. If he keeps swinging like this, he will win majors again.
Well, I don't have the stat in front of me, but he's top 10 on tour in proximity from the fairway.
There you go.
So I totally agree with your assessment there. I think what impressed me too, Tripp, to kind of piggyback what you say about finding fairways, he was hitting a lot of drivers too.
Yes.
He was not hitting the little punchy two irons and
like
knocking down
Valspar and Honda.
No.
Yep.
He was hitting a lot of drivers. He was aim left, hitting that power fade, still plenty of speed. Still, he hit it 340 on 18 yesterday, right down the middle when he had to find the fairway. I'm with you. I mean, we haven't seen him this year put everything together. You know, it's either everything works and he putted poorly.
Right.
Or everything worked, but he couldn't find a fairway. This week at Eastlake, on difficult fairways to hit, he found the fairways. He continued his tremendous iron play from those fairways, and he made the putts when he needed to, and he was the best player in the field this week.
Yeah, and there's no question about it. And the thing is, you said, you know, with everything worked, but the one thing that has been throughout the year that has been an issue is the driver.
Right.
It was less of an issue at Belle Reve. It became less of an issue in some of the playoffs, and at Eastlake it's. Now let's wrap this up with our Tiger talk with major championships. I just said it, Brian. Does he win a major again?
Yes, he's already the odds-on favorite to win Augusta.
No question.
I think that what we've seen. Most importantly, he's healthy. And now that he's healthy, he can work on his game as hard as he wants to. I don't know that he really wants to work on it as hard as he used to want, wanting to put the time in hour after hour after hour. I don't think he has to. He doesn't have the time to do it. But if he wanted to, he can. So he's healthy, number one. His golf swing, to your point, looks as good as I've seen it look in the last 10 years. Going back to even 2009 when he won a bunch of tournaments, it just looks in sync. And his short game is the best,
mm-hmm.
or one of the best, on the PGA
Again.
Tour. So absolutely he can win a major championship.
And where do you say that happens?
I think he's got a – why wouldn't it be the Masters? I mean, that golf course, his experience, his knowledge of the golf course, I can see it happening. With these venues we have coming up, we're going to Wingfoot for the Open. We got Pebble coming up
in
the next few years.
Not going to Wingfoot for another year.
What? No, but in the next – I'm talking about the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, but
I mean, the lineup.
That's where I'm saying the major that he's going to win. Is this little place called Pebble Beach. It's a 2019 venue. It's called Pebble Beach. And I think he finished fourth there the last time it was played there. And, oh, yeah, the last time it was played before that, he won by 15 shots.
I love how when you're making a point, your voice comes down and gets real intimate.
That's where I say Tiger Woods wins major number 15, Pebble Beach next year. Mark it in the books, my friend.
I'm writing it down right now.
Write it down right now.
September the 24th.
Yep.
Pebble Beach, US
Pebble Beach.
Hey, Tripp, before we leave this topic, I'm curious about Tiger's change as a player.
Yeah.
His change with his driver, adding loft.
Yep.
Made a huge difference.
Yep.
You know, I know it was only a degree of loft, but obviously, since he's made that change, his driving has improved twofold. And for the common golfer that doesn't realize what that means for, you know, he swings so fast, what is that, does that make a difference or not? That decision he made, whoever talked him into it or whoever the equipment rep said, try this.
Hope it was Keith Sbarbaro.
Well, it probably was. But just think about the difference that's made. This way he drove it well to BMW.
He did. No, yeah.
And that's when the change came. I mean, I think that's something that we hadn't really talked about, but it's made a tremendous difference.
And what is the loft, do you know?
He went from 8.5 to 9.5.
Okay. And lower loft with the, you know, you get
flatter
your spin,
face.
Yeah, and it's going to go more offline. And so, yeah, that's a good point. I you know, and I know he's made some shaft changes too,
shaft
but I think
changes.
He's, whatever you, whatever, look, what is it they say with shampoo? Rinse and repeat, right? He's, all he needs to do is what he did at Eastlake, and let's keep going. Okay, nothing else going on in golf this week, so let's move on to the season of 2018-19.
Well, we got one more big event.
What?
It's this week.
It's not. There's nothing in the United States.
No, that's true.
Yeah, there's a Ryder Cup.
I think it's going to be epic, man. I really can't wait for Friday.
Look, here's the thing. I with the Ryder Cup, when I was it was 1983, and I just want to tell people how far this has come. And hats off to Jack Nicklaus, and he was really the one, and Tom Watson that said, let's bring the Europeans into this. And that happened in 1980 or 79, I believe, was the first year the Europeans came in. Brian, I lived in Vero Beach, Florida. I went to high school there. We got in the car on Sunday and drove down to PGA, bought tickets at the gate.
PGA National?
And walked in. And I was standing there when Seve hit that shot out of that bunker on 18.
No kidding.
I couldn't believe he hit it. I mean, that's how – I mean, you could go buy a ticket to the Ryder Cup and walk
of.
The day of. I mean,
it's come a long way.
You know, I was 15, and a friend of mine was 17, and he was a guy. We were both golfers, and we drove down there and watched.
Let's go watch a tournament.
Yeah. So those kind of things, yeah, that's not happening now. But the Ryder Cup is the most thrilling sports event as far as golf goes to watch every other year, my opinion.
Absolutely. And you look at how far it has come the last, 10 years, I would say, 10 to 12 years, the drama that we've seen from the Europeans winning a lot to the Americans not winning when they should have won, it's building and building and building. And then you go back to 2012 at Medina when the Americans were finally going to win after so many close calls and they lose. It's become this epic event, not only in golf, I think, but in sports in general. I mean, look at the first tee, the grandstand that is built there. It looks like the side of a baseball stadium. That's just for the first tee.
Yep.
It shows now you probably can't show up on Sunday trip, drive
in
from Louisville town to get a ticket.
Yeah.
We talk about the hype every year, but I think this year, is going to be as compelling a year for the Ryder Cup that I think we've had in recent memory because of the American side on paper is favored. I think that works to the advantage of the Europeans.
I don't know how they're favored.
I mean, you have to look at the team. Big picture, I think. Now, we can get into how some of the guys played on the American team of the Tour Championship, which was not good. I know it's another week. But just the buildup, and now when you add in the Tiger factor, he was already on the team, but now the attention that's going to get, whoever's paired with him over there on Friday and Saturday, I can't wait to watch. I mean, it's I think it's going to be closer than most people think. I think the Europeans are
going to
use the underdog role. It happens every year.
Yeah, but I don't call them underdogs right now based on how I get paper and I get all that stuff. But, I mean, you've got Molinari on your team that's back on the team. You got Casey back on there. I mean, and your rookies are
Fleetwood, Norin,
Rahm, you know, and Tyrrell Hatton.
Norin.
And yeah. I mean, so those are your rookies? But I mean, so I don't know. It just I think when you look at you go to the other side, the U.S. side, the rookies for the U.S. team are Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, and Tony Finau. I mean, that's pretty good rookies too.
They're pretty good.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the setup, because there's been a lot of talk about what Captain Bjorn. We know the advantage that the home captain has is he can set up the course how he wants. Davis set up Medina exactly how he wanted for his guys and Hazeltine. Yeah. And the rough's going to be high. They say you got to hit it straight. They're trying to make them hit it in the fairway. Why wouldn't they? A European team is a better driving team than the U.S. team.
Sergio, John Rahm, Henrik Stenson, Fleetwood,
Justin Rose,
Norton, Rose. They can drive the
Molinari.
Golf ball. Molinari. Yeah, he hadn't missed a fairway since the 80s. Yes, you're exactly right. I think one area of the setup that's being overlooked is the speed of the greens.
Slow.
I think the greens are going to be slow. You think they're going to be slow. Why? Because Americans don't – first of all, we're not used to putting on slow greens.
Correct.
And I think it messes with your head emotionally on the putting green when you're used to fast greens, because you just can't ever get one there. And so I think that the greens are going to be slower. We know it's a narrow golf course. Justin Thomas played in the French Open mm-hmm. a month or so ago. Mm-hmm. He hit 7 drivers in 4 days.
Right.
Total. So, but it's not a long course. So I think for the Americans, the disadvantage is they have a lot of players that can't find fairways or have trouble.
True.
Koepka, Phil, Finau, Tiger at times, although not recently. Bubba Watson. But since it's a short golf course, they can take less than driver off the tee and hopefully find some more fairways. But I think the setup is going to be everything. You narrow the fairways, you lengthen the rough, and you slow down the greens, and then you take advantage of that home course atmosphere. I think that levels the playing field on paper with one team compared to the next. And also, I just found this morning. I was looking for the American team, the American players that have played in the French Open. Justin Thomas was the only one, finished tied for 8th. The Europeans had Norin, Rahm, Sergio, Hatton, Poulter, Fleetwood, and Olsen all played in this year's French Open. Mm-hmm. And Bjorn played as a captain, was in the field, missed the cut. But don't think he wasn't taking notes when he was out there plotting his way in a competitive environment around the golf course. Experience is going to be a lot on that golf course.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And if I were captain, one other thing I would do if I were Bjorn is I would have them vary the speed of the greens and have my guys aware of it.
Wow.
You have a different length cut of mower ever so slightly for maybe a 13, 14, 17 green, and you tell your players, and you don't, hey, is that underhanded?
A little bit.
You think so?
You don't, I figured that you have to cut all the greens the same length, mower length. If you don't, then you'd have to tell the other team. Why?
We didn't cut today. We didn't cut this green. We might have cut.
I never thought about that angle.
But but who knows? I mean, because if you've got to adjust, and I'm not saying the Americans wouldn't adjust, they would. But who knows? I think hole locations as well. I think you got a big advantage there. So let's start with the U.S. team strengths and weaknesses that Jim Furyk has to his strengths that he can play to and his weaknesses that he's got to play around.
All right, so I think strengths for the U.S. is chemistry. I think they have built-in team, mm-hmm. built-in pairings. I think it's the closest U.S. team as far as player-to-player relationships that we've ever had. So I think chemistry is built in for Furyk. I think the disadvantage for Furyk is who does he put Phil Mickelson with? Number one, and then how often do you play Phil and you play Tiger, some of the older players? Because there's going to be players that play 5 matches. You know Reed's going to go 5. You know Fowler's probably going to go 5. Mm-hmm. DJ probably go 5. But, I mean, do you sit Tiger? Can he go 5? He's played a lot of golf the last 6
five.
Weeks.
He can go 5.
I think the balance there for Furyk, because I think all the players are playing well until this past week at the Tour Championship. Really, Spieth was the only one that was struggling, and that's saying a lot. Because I don't think Spieth has struggled all year. He just hadn't won. Big picture. I think Furyk is trying to figure out who's going to play what days and who's not. The foursomes historically have been terribly negative in favor of the Americans. How do you figure out who's going to pair up foursomes-wise? Because the Europeans have dominated foursomes nearly every year the last 2 decades, except at Hazeltine, where the Americans won 7 out of 8 points, and oh, by the way, they won the Ryder Cup. So foursomes is a big topic of discussion, I think, in the team room this week, the importance of them, because four balls are about even.
Four balls are even, I agree with that.
Singles are about even.
Foursomes is it's alternate shot.
It's difficult.
For those that, you know, get the Ryder Cup lingo. When you hear foursomes, that's alternate shot. I wish we could just call it alternate shot. You can call it alternate shot, but it's called foursomes, and that is where the Americans – I'll echo that. That is a weakness. I think the other weakness, too, and let's just face it, Tiger and Phil are 1-6 together. You know, I mean, in the Ryder Cups. Their record on teams together is 1-6. Now, part of that, I think, is going to be a little different this year because of the relationship between Tiger and Phil's. It's drastically different than what it was in other Ryder Cups. I mean, I know firsthand from players that were on some of those Ryder Cups that told me it was you were either a friend of Tiger or a friend of Phil, and that divides the team. And I think that had a lot to do with some of the stuff that happened with that. The team room is a strength for the U.S.
You don't pair Tiger and Phil together, do you?
No,
Captain Eisenhower.
No chance.
We won't see that.
No, you will not see that.
No.
The other strength I think is that the U.S. now has that it never had before is continuity from captain to captain to captain. We've got a playbook thanks to the task force, whatever you want to call it,
right.
And they know the playbook now. They know the pod system or however it works that Azinger kind of did that was done away with for a while, and then of course after Tom Watson in 2014, it came back, and I think Davis was instrumental in. You know, and Phil, of course, and Tiger were all instrumental, and so is Stricker, your captain next time, by the way, there's continuity there that the Europeans always had. There's a playbook, and I think that's now a strength for the U.S. side.
Oh, I agree.
It used to be a weakness because the new captain would come in with a whole new system. This is how I'm going to do it, and
And then your vice captains are Zach and Cooch. I mean, you're just continuing this. These winning ways from Hazeltine and the experience of the last 10 years. I totally agree. I think that's a good point.
On the side of that, though, those don't hit one single shot.
Right.
But I think it gives the U.S. team a strength now that it never had. Weaknesses are driver in the fairway. The U.S. team can be a little off there, and I think the setup is going to exasperate that for the Americans, and rightfully so. I think Bjorn and the Europeans are smart to do that and make the Americans have to hit it in the fairway. Those are the weaknesses. I think, too, believe it or not, and I wouldn't be surprised to see either of these two guys flip a switch, but the play of Mickelson and Reed has not been good. Their current form. Now, Mickelson, I go to, and I always say this about him, when he turns down Magnolia Lane, when he goes right off of Washington Road in Augusta, Georgia, and goes down Magnolia Lane.
Or left, depending on what direction he's coming from.
Well, whatever way he comes into Magnolia Lane, his game changes. There's something about that place that does it. Now, this team environment and this match play environment could be that same medicine for Phil Mickelson, but he needs something. I mean, there were many people who questioned that he shouldn't have been picked, and I can understand that, but we got to remember he did win earlier this year.
Yeah.
So, and he was playing probably week to week the most consistent golf of his career. So I definitely think that Phil, and here's the other guy, is Patrick Reed. Now, Captain America, he could be like an Ian Poulter for us. We know that. We've seen it. Will he flip that switch? So I think Jim's got to worry about that a little bit in the back of his mind. Hopefully those guys find some form, and being there certainly helps them without question.
Well, look, Phil, you go back to what he's been able to do this year in his recent form. He's not playing well coming in. He finished dead last in the Tour Championship.
Yeah, 58th to be.
He was almost last in fairways hit.
Reed, missed the cut at the PGA.
Yeah, Reed's been struggling. Hadn't been playing well coming in. He drove it horrible. In Atlanta, Koepka drove it poorly. Bubba drove it poorly. All this is on it. Now, these are tight fairways in Atlanta, but guess what? There's going to be tight fairways in Paris.
Yeah.
So you wonder if recent form really is going to play a role or not. I'm with you. I think with Patrick Reed, at least, he can flip a switch regardless of how he's playing, and I think he's going to play well in Paris. I think you can say the same thing on the other side for Sergio. Hasn't had the best of years, but I think just because it's a Ryder Cup, he'll be ready to play, and he'll find a way to let the home course – the atmosphere of playing a Ryder Cup in Europe to elevate his game as well.
All right, now let's go to Thomas Bjorn, the Great Dane. Strengths of his team and weaknesses of his team.
I hate to rinse and repeat, as you like to say, but I think the advantages for the European is course setup.
Yep,
I think you have to take advantage.
And knowledge.
Right. The players that have played this golf course multiple times, we had six on the team that have played a few months ago at the French Open. But take advantage of this course setup. If, in fact, they decide to cut the greens at different lengths, use that. Right. I think that's a great idea, by the way.
Yeah.
Never thought about that. But you have great drivers on this team. Take advantage of that. Find the fairways. Also, I think the advantage that the Europeans have as far as roster goes, I think they have some built-in pairings as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you put Rose with Poulter, they're rarely lost.
Four Rose
ball
and Stenson.
Or foursaw. Rose and Stenson, same thing. You put Sergio and Rahm together. Fleetwood and Rose. I mean, there's some built-in pairings here as well, but I think overall the biggest advantage the Euros have is this course setup.
Yes. And
wouldn't you agree?
I agree, but I would echo one other advantage they have is really good drivers of the golf ball.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned Sergio, Rahm.
Fleetwood, Norin, Rose, Molinari.
I mean, you know, Casey.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got good drivers of the golf ball on the team. So I just think that end of it, they're going to be – if they play more from the fairway, they're going to win this. We always talk about Ryder Cups coming down to putting, and it probably will, of course, come down to a putt here and there, no question about it. But it's how close they'll be able to hit the ball from the fairway versus the rough here. And I think the Europeans, if they play from the fairway more, and if I were the Americans, I would seed this. I would say, look, we're going to have to play from the fairway. If we have to seed some distance, we will. And just like Tiger Woods, the formula for him this last week, if you're 23rd in distance but 3rd in accuracy, you're going to – the U.S. team will be – I think the U.S. team will win this if they play from the fairway. Whichever team plays from the fairway the most often this week will win.
And the team that makes the most putts.
Well, but here's my thing. You play from the fairway, you'll hit it closer. So you'll be able to have less putts. Of course the team with less putts wins. That's like steak tastes better than hamburger, okay? I mean, of course that happens. I mean, we get that. But here, the fact of the matter is, that's going to be my statement. I'm sticking to it, Brian.
All right, look, I'm writing you down again.
Write it down.
You're putting down all kinds of
nuggets. Team that plays from the fairway the most wins this Ryder Cup. All right, weakness.
Europeans.
Weakness.
For the Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they putt well enough to get ahead.
They do in Ryder Cups.
They do in Ryder Cups, but when you think about their team, name a great putter. Justin Rose has made tremendous strides statistically in his putting. But Sergio battles it. Rory battles it. Fleetwood's a great putter. Molinari battles the putter.
Not so much recently.
Historically. Yeah.
I think the putter's the big part.
Putter
is a weakness. You got to say that. I think another weakness for Bjorn, Sergio, inconsistent play out of Rory, Stenson, some guys that he are the backbone of his team. Now, Rory, you're right. His putting's very inconsistent. That's part of his inconsistent play. I mean, let's face it. The guy had a chance to win the Tour Championships in the last group, and he putted awful that week. He had a chance to win the
BMW.
Open. He had a chance. He putted
open.
Awful.
Yeah.
I mean.
Pick one.
But when he putts great, he wins. Look at what he did at Bay Hill.
Yeah.
You know.
That's why he won Bay Hill.
Well, yeah. I mean, that last round, that 64, the putting was sensational. So, and we saw what he can do in Ryder Cups, those putts he was making on Patrick Reed. I mean, that match, that's some of the best golf I've ever seen played in a Ryder Cup, those two going head-to-head. Sergio has really struggled.
Yes.
But here, historically, you know, with the putter, Sergio there, but at Ryder Cups, he putts well.
Yeah.
So that's going to be, to me, the weakness for him, because that's the core of his team, is Sergio, Rory, Stenson, and Rose. I mean, those are his horses, and he needs those guys to step up. Now, that will be like Phil for Jim, Sergio for Thomas was going to be a big question mark, and how those questions are answered, we'll just have to see how it plays out.
And I also think, Tripp, the pressure for the European teams to win back the cup. You know, it, on home soil,
yeah,
kind of chip on their shoulder. There's a lot of hype about the American team. Now Tiger wins. You got Koepka playing, winning two majors, and Phil's won this year, and JT and Reed with his dominance in years past. What have you, what have you, what have you. I think the pressure on the Europeans, how they deal with that with five rookies. I know three of those rookies are top 15 in the world, but yeah, still just wanting it so much,
yeah,
over there, how will that play out, the pressure for the week?
All right, we covered four balls versus foursome, which team has the edge. We know that in alternate shot is foursomes. The Europeans have the edge, and they historically have. Will they have it again this week? Now, let's talk about U.S. pairings. Let's just talk about pairings overall, guys that we think are going to play together regardless of the format.
Well, you're going to see Spieth and Reed. I don't know how you wouldn't. How would you upset the apple cart there? They've never lost as a team. They're 4-0-1 in foursomes and in four ball. So I think Spieth and Reed's a gimme.
Didn't Rose and Stenson beat them one time?
They halved them.
No, I think they beat them one time. I think they're the only guys to beat them.
I have to check my notes.
Check your notes. But I think Kaz, our producer, is nodding at me. So I think
so it's 3-1 for both. Excuse me.
Yeah. Yep. So they have lost that one, but that's who they lost to. I mean, a team like Rose and Stenson. Right. So
I mean, wouldn't you agree, Spieth and Reed? I mean, you send them out first. Both of them want the ball. Yeah. Give me the ball, coach. 3 seconds left. I'm ready to shoot. Both of them can handle the pressure. They want it. I think you send them out early and can get some momentum, regardless of the format or the day.
I agree. I think another one we're going to see is Fowler-Thomas. I think you're going to see Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas together. The speculation is Tiger and DeChambeau.
Yeah.
DJ and Brooks. I know. I mean, but
not in foursomes.
Not in foursomes. No. I think that's a four-ball pair.
Yeah, because you're more aggressive trying to make
absolutely
as many birdies as you can.
And that I'm saying regardless of four. You know, I'm just saying some guys that I think we'll see together in any, you know, whatever format they fit.
You're going to see Webb and Bubba. They've played a ton of matches in President's Cups and Ryder Cups.
Webb
They're close
Bubba.
Friends.
Yep.
Kind of a yin and yang.
And that leaves, you know, if we just go on the ones I just said. You said Spieth and Reed, Fowler Thomas, Tiger DeChambeau, Bubba Webb, DJ Brooks. That leaves Finau with Mickelson. What do you think of that?
Well, they both make a lot of birdies. I mean, it'd have to be in the four-ball format.
Yeah,
it could not be
in
foursomes.
No.
They've played a lot of golf of late, whether it's in competition or in practice rounds. I think you and I talked about this about a month ago, that Phil had come out and said that he was a big fan of Tony Finau, his attitude, his likability, his game. Phil, I think Tony had Phil's ear before the decision was made to make Finau a captain's pick. I think Phil was probably, and I'm speculating here, but I would imagine Phil was lobbying for Tony as a pick to Jim Furyk, and I think Tony ultimately deserves it and earned it. But why not put them together? But it would have to be in four balls.
We may not see Mickelson in alternate shot.
I don't know if you – it'd be tough to be his partner in alternate shot.
That's
I
what I'm saying.
He drove it so poorly last week.
We're going to have to – I mean, my point is, if you're a captain, okay, this isn't Little League where everybody's got to play.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're not getting participation trophies here. This is I don't know. I'm saying if Phil stays on current form, we may not see him in foursomes.
The way he's driving, I don't know how you could put him in
foursomes.
That's
my point. You
mentioned Tyson and Bryson, Tiger and Bryson, and they play the same golf ball too. That's huge in something
it is.
Alternate shot or foursome.
Well, Fowler
as
you and
like
Thomas
to call
do.
It.
Fowler and
because
Thomas.
Then there's no you're comfortable with you're the ball that you're hitting, so that's kind of a quiet factor for that.
All right, now let's flip the switch to the Europeans. What is
Sergio and Rahm?
Yep.
I think experience, mentorship that Sergio has for Rahm, they speak the same language. They're both fiery. I think you send them out early as well because
mm-hmm.
John Rahm's not afraid to take the ball either.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would settle Sergio's nerves if he was a little bit loose to have Rahm, who drives it really well and really long, the combination there. I think you're going to see Sergio and Rahm. I'd be very surprised if they weren't paired up, either four ball or foursome.
Well, and you're not going to break
because they drive it so well.
You're not going to, and you're going to see Rose and Stenson in some matches. There's no question. How about this? I like Paul Casey and Francesco Molinari together.
Why is that?
The ball striking
in foursomes. Four ball, do they make enough birdies?
That's my, and you can't, I'm not. I'm just, look, whatever for it. I'm just okay. saying. Yeah, yeah, I agree that you put those two in foursomes. There's that. That's a beautiful pairing. So is Rose Stinson. How about Fleetwood Poulter?
Absolutely. How about Rose Poulter? I mean, they've had a success.
Rose Poulter could do.
They've had success in the past,
and that left me when I was going through that. That left me with. Now we've got Rory. What if I'm just saying that we're going to see those, but then does Rory carry along Norin or Hatton or Olesen at some point? I mean,
you look at Olesen. Nothing against the guy; he's a world class player, but I don't know he matches up well.
I don't think we see him in foursomes.
Probably not. I mean, I would think Rory and Norin would be a great pairing, in that they both drive the ball really well. At least when Rory's hitting fairways, he didn't drive it too well yesterday in Atlanta or Sunday in Atlanta. But those are the three players for the Europeans, Norin, Hatton, and Olesen. I think with regardless of their stature and how they've played the last few months, they're going to be paired with someone with experience.
Yeah,
you're not going to see Norin and Hatton paired
that's
together
my point.
Or
that's
Hatton and Olesen.
Rory, that's why that's yes. I'm saying with Rory. That's
I think with Rory would be a good
all
call.
Right. So let's
– we're doing predictions?
Yeah, we're going to get to predictions. All right, so when we do that – I want to do that, and I want to talk the MVP for each team and who wins. We've already discussed why, because the team that plays from the fairway, we don't even need to – I mean, I'm just kidding. Winning team and the MVP for that winning team.
I think the Americans win. I think that it's going to be close the first day. I think the Americans continue their great play on Saturday and pull away, maybe winning three out of the four foursome matches on Saturday to get a 2 to 3 point lead going into Sunday. And I think the singles is where you're going to see two sides that are desperately wanting to play well. And I think the Europeans want it so badly to get the cut back over there. I think they're going to try too hard. And when you try too hard, the first thing that normally leaves your game is your putting. I think the Americans win the singles by a couple of points. I think they win 15.5 to 11.5.
Whoa.
I think it's three to 4 point win for the Americans. It's my prediction. And I think Tiger Woods is the MVP.
Of course. I'm going to say the Europeans win.
Okay.
And I'm going to say it's because they're going to play from the fairway more often than the American team. And their putting weaknesses will be mitigated by what they do in match play. And I'm beating my chest like Poulter. They get fired up, and they've got the home crowd on their side. They've got the home field on their side. They play better historically in alternate shot foursomes, whatever you want to call it. They're going to play better there because the U.S. team is still going to have that weak driving at some point that's going to undo them. And that format in particular is going to be the separator. And the guy that separates everybody, the men from the boys, is Justin Rose. He has had a remarkable – he's world number one, and he's played so good. Well, he's not anymore, but he was world number one.
He was for a week,
yeah. Okay.
Well, no, I think
but,
he's the
best player
in the world.
The consistency right. that guy has yep. showed in all formats, he drives the ball beautifully. The ball striking is fantastic.
So he's your MVP on the European side,
European
Rose.
Side, and, you know, I mean, you go back to – I think this is going to be nip and tuck. I you say 15.5, 11.
Or 12. I think it was 28 total, so 15.5, 12.5.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a literal, 15-13. I mean, it's going to be it.
14.5.
It could be 14.5, 13.5. I mean, it really could be that. I think it's going to go down, and we could legitimately have a tie. I mean, I think both teams. I know the U.S. is favored on paper, but I think the intangibles, and the fact that they're over there, and the U.S. hasn't won on their soil since '93. I think that's it, and. I just love the way the European team just gets they gel. They've got a lot of – but now, and again, we talked about this. The U.S. side is starting to do that more often. And mm-hmm. we've got a great group, a great core of players, and all this camaraderie crap that people – oh, you can't be around and congratulate your buddies. It doesn't make you want to be as – that's total BS. Brian, you're a good friend of mine, but when we play golf, I want to beat your brains out. That doesn't mean I don't like you, and it doesn't mean that we can't be friends after and have a beer.
Or maybe three. We'll stop at two.
Yeah, for now. All right, so that's it. There we go. We covered everything, and the Ryder Cup is going to be interesting like it always is, folks. And you know what? You tune in to Golf Channel all week and NBC. We got you covered from A to Z, and we'll see you next time.